In our previous voice lecture on this course, we discuss the nature of human and society. In this lecture too, we would examine morality and ethics. This is www.schooldrillers.com. Students friendly website. The aim of this audio lecture on Philosophy 103, Ethics and Society is to make learning more flexible. School Drillers bring to you the audio lecture of Philosophy 103 Study Session 2. Let's get started. Lecture 2. What is morality? The concepts of morality and ethics are used as synonyms, but within the strict context of philosophy, the two terms are distinct, though they are related. In this study session, we will therefore provide a clear understanding of the notions of morality and ethics, and the relationship that exists between them, including their differences. Now, what is morality? The word morality often refers to the normative code of a group of people, that is, the set of principles employed by a people to determine the forms of behavior that are to be accepted as right or good in opposition to those that are to be rejected as wrong or bad. Some prominent examples of such normative principles are: stealing is bad, honesty is good, promise keeping is a virtue, it is wrong to murder human beings, etc. As an enterprise, morality provides a guide of conduct for human beings as they engage in social interaction by supplying a standard for determining the conducts, the personality traits, and even the social institutions or practices that should be accepted as opposed to those that should not be accepted in society. This is why it is acceptable to simply describe morality as a venture committed to the specification of the types of conduct people should embrace, the kind of character traits and social institutions or practices that should be accepted and those that should be avoided in society. The idea of morality is essentially social. It is only meaningful because humans interact with one another in society. By virtue of social interaction, necessitated by the reality of the scarcity of resources, human vulnerability and lack of self-sufficiency, questions about how men ought to relate in society and who should get what at a given time become very important. It is in an attempt to provide plausible answers to these questions that morality came into being. Indeed, the objective of morality is primarily to order human behavior and their activities in society in a way that would enhance social stability, enhance the well-being of all in society, and also provide an adequate context within which all members of society can effectively pursue their interests in ways that would be mutually beneficial. It is in an attempt to achieve the above objective that standards are evolved to specify those actions and character traits that are acceptable as good or bad, right or wrong, justifiable or unjustifiable in society. These standards, in turn, provide the basis for the specific moral judgments we make about specific human conducts. For example, we pass the judgment that an act of stealing is morally wrong simply because of an existing moral standard that specifies that all acts of stealing are morally wrong. From a perspective, it is very tempting to say that morality can be individual when individuals have their personal moral standards and codes of conduct that are distinct from those of their society. But then, the individuals upholding such moral standards must at least be thinking of other members of society as they determine how they want to relate with others in society, and possibly also wish that others in society would adopt their personal codes of conduct. To the extent that the people upholding such personal moral standards take others into consideration, we can reasonably contend that these personal moral standards have sufficient social contents. Indeed, the life of society is the normal atmosphere and training ground of morality. Moral ideas normally develop and are constantly criticized and modified as people engage in social interaction. I believe you understand what morality is. However, the next thing is to examine what makes an issue a moral issue. What makes an issue a moral issue? In what situation can we say an issue is a moral issue? Obviously, moral issues are about human actions. Non-human actions are usually not appraised from a moral perspective. For instance, it would not make much sense to say of the flood or hurricane that ravage cities, killing multitudes and destroying vast infrastructural facilities that it has done something immoral. Neither do we normally evaluate the behavior of animals from the moral perspective. The dog that bit a child could not be said to have carried out an immoral thing. Even when we say that the dog has done something bad, we definitely are not using the word bad in a moral sense. We need to appreciate the fact that terms such as good, bad, right and wrong, employed to denote the moral value of human actions, apart from having their usual moral connotations, also have non-moral meanings. For instance, when we say that a knife or a car is good, the term good is not used in a moral but a non-moral sense. In the latter sense, good is used, for instance, to show that the knife or car is effective in achieving the purpose for which it was made. We must also understand that it is not every human action that is susceptible to moral evaluation. Some are morally neutral and are called amoral human actions. This category of actions is not morally relevant, as it would not be meaningful to say that they are morally good or bad, right or wrong. For instance, no one could reasonably say that my decision to wear a pair of black shoes and not a brown one, or perhaps eating bread and sausage for breakfast, rather than pancakes, is a moral decision. Hence, it is important that we are able to distinguish between those human actions that are morally relevant and the ones that are morally irrelevant. The important question to ask now is, what makes an issue a moral issue? Essentially, moral issues are defined by their relevance to the well-being of people in society. For an issue to be moral, it must affect the well-being of people in society either by increasing or decreasing the harm or benefit that would accrue to them. However, there is a debate over whether or not an issue is a moral issue when only the well-being of the agent is at stake. Apart from the fact that a moral issue is essentially related to human actions and borders on their well-being, it must also be a product of free choice. This suggests that for a human action to be subject to moral evaluation, it must have been an action carried out by the individual as a free agent. It must not be an action carried out under any form of compulsion. Let's talk about the essential features of morality. The following are the distinctive features of morality. 1. The making of normative statements or judgments about specific human actions to the effect that they are either good or bad, right or wrong, just or unjust. Examples are: A. John did something wrong by lying. B. It was right for Sarah to have told the truth. C. It is morally bad for Stephen to have stolen the money. 2. The possibility of a demand for the reasons or justifications for the normative statements made. 3. The reliance on some normative principles, rules or ideals to provide justification for the moral judgments made. For instance, A. Lying is wrong. B. Honesty is a virtue. C. Stealing is bad. 4. Some emotional states of approval or disapproval attached to the judgments made and the rules and principles relevant to them. There would also be the desire to communicate such emotional states to others. 5. The existence of some sanctions or incentives, which is usually verbal, in the form of either blame or praise. Let us look at the connection between morality, law, and convention. When considered as a social system for regulating human conduct, morality has very close affinity to law, the legal system, on one hand and convention on the other. They are all concerned with the regulation of human behavior in order to facilitate cordial and mutually beneficial social relationships, social stability, peace and social development. The three are concerned with the determination of what ought to be done and how people ought to behave in society. However, convention differs from law and morality in that it is basically about what is socially convenient and is largely a matter of appearance and taste. It is simply about the way a people traditionally behave, reinforced by the assumption that they should, for this reason, continue to behave the same way. It is the way a people traditionally conducts its affairs. Examples of conventions include traditional modes of greetings and weddings. Convention does not deal with matters that are socially crucial in the way that morality and law do. This is in the sense that while matters of convention may not have any serious and direct implication on the prospects of human well-being, issues of morality and law do. Both, for examples, forbid such acts as murder and stealing and encourage honesty and respect for human dignity. One important similarity between convention and morality, and which distinguishes them from law, is that the former are not created or changeable by a deliberate legislative, executive or judicial act, the latter can be so created or changed. Another important similarity between morality and convention, which separates them from law, is that the former do not have any sanction beyond praise and blame and other verbal expressions of approval or disapproval, favor or disfavor. Legal sanctions, however, extend beyond expressions of approval or disapproval or the apportioning of praise or blame to include physical force or, at the least, a threat of its use. Now that we have learnt about morality and what makes an issue a moral issue, in this second segment we would talk about ethics as one of the branch of philosophy. What is ethics? Ethics is defined simply as the philosophy of morality. This suggests that the subject matter of ethics is morality. Thus, ethics may be rightly understood as the critical examination of morality. Given the understanding of morality as being concerned with the setting of normative standards for evaluating human actions and character with a view to determining which ones are right or wrong, good or bad, just or unjust, ethics as the philosophy of morality can be rightly described as a critical examination of the normative standards employed by individuals, groups and societies to determine the moral status of human actions, character and in some situations, social institutions or practices. Such critical examination would also include 1. The analysis of ethical concepts such as good, bad, right, wrong, just, unjust, duty, rights, etc. The objective of this analysis is to clarify what these ethical concepts stand for as well as their implications. 2. The scrutiny of moral judgments so as to ascertain their actual meaning and implications. Effort is also made to justify moral judgments by appealing to appropriate moral principles or general rules. 3. The clarification and justification of the moral principles normally appealed to for the justification of moral judgments. From the foregoing, it is instructive to note that while the major concern of morality is to evaluate human conducts, personality traits and social institutions or practices and arrive at normative judgments about them to the effect that they are good or bad, just or unjust, right or wrong, etc., ethics critically examines these judgments and attempts to determine the extent to which they are or can be justified. But, to do this effectively, it is important that the core concepts featured in these judgments are clarified, and the principles on the basis of which they are arrived at are also clarified and justified. It is relatively common to identify three subdivisions of ethics: descriptive ethics, normative ethics, and metaethics. Let us now examine each of these in turn. Descriptive ethics. The basic concern of descriptive ethics is to describe the moral positions subscribed to by individuals, groups or societies. For instance, the claim that Maxwell believes that abortion is morally acceptable or that stealing is construed as morally good in ancient Greece falls within the domain of descriptive ethics. These claims merely give a report that can be verified about the moral conviction of Maxwell or the people of ancient Greece. This is the kind of report presented by sociologists and anthropologists and is denied of being truly philosophical. Normative ethics. Normative ethics is the arena where moral judgments and principles are made. It is often described as the arena of morality proper. Statements such as, "John did something wrong by lying, it was right for Sarah to have told the truth, it is morally bad for Stephen to have stolen the money," are the kind of normative statements that are made in normative ethics. Examples of moral principles that are arrived at in this arena include stealing is wrong, honesty is good, and kindness is a virtue. Such claims are made by practically every person in our daily existence. They are usually arrived at by assessing the actual behaviors of individuals. An important distinction between normative judgments and normative principles is that while the former are about specific human actions or character, the latter is concerned with kinds of actions or character. Besides, the relationship between moral judgments and principles is that the latter is usually appealed to in the making of the latter. Metaethics. In metaethics, the major interest is to subject moral statements, moral principles and their constituent moral terms to critical examination in order to determine their actual connotations and implications. Philosophers of the analytic school are of the opinion that this is the basic interest of philosophers and what should be their primary concern in ethics. The reality, however, is that the analysis of ethical concepts as well as the evaluation of moral judgments and principles would not even take off until moral concepts that are employed to construct moral judgments and principles have been analyzed and clarified. Thus, the three subdivisions of ethics discussed above integrally related. I hope you found this audio helpful. Do not forget to check back for lecture 3 on schooldrillers.com and follow our Facebook and Twitter page. Thank you.